the salary paid to the big CEOs, and they never make payouts to stockholders. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Varney.
This story is part of a reporting partnership that includes NPR, Kaiser Health News, and KQED. You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.
WCVE Public Radio. Each Tuesday morning at this time, we check in with the fact checkers at PolitiFact Virginia, an affiliate of PolitiFact.com on the national level. And we're joined again this morning by reporter Sean Gorman. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Wayne.
Well, we have two items today that you've written about recently in PolitiFact Virginia's column, both stemming from the Kane Allen Senate debate earlier this month, and both pertaining to George Allen's previous tenure in the U.S. Senate from 2001 to 2007. Now, the first item is a claim by George Allen that he was one of a dozen senators who voted against the bridge to nowhere, his words. That bridge, of course, became a symbol of oversized federal earmarks. So when $225 million in federal money was set aside in 2005 to pay toward its construction. So he said in the debate that he was one of a dozen senators who voted against it. You checked the facts on that, and what did you find?
Well, the bridge was to have connected the city of Ketchikan, Alaska, to the island of Gravina, which has a population of 50. And as you said, Wayne, it's been kind of pointed to by critics as a sign of earmarking run amok. Now, Jamie Rackey, who's Allen's GOP challenger for the Republican nomination for the Senate seat, has argued that Allen voted for the Bridge to Nowhere because he voted for that underlying highway reauthorization bill. But we're dismissive of that allegation because, as PolitiFact National noted in a 2008 story, the funding for the bridge came to less than 0.1% of the overall funding for that roughly $285 billion highway bill. But how does Allen justify his statement that he actually voted against the Bridge to Nowhere? Now, Allen's campaign points to his vote on an amendment in a later transportation appropriations bill. Now, that amendment, sponsored by Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn, called for redirecting part of the funding for the Ketchikan-Gravina bridge to rebuilding the Twin Spans Bridge between New Orleans and Slidell, Louisiana. Now, that bridge had been damaged during Hurricane Katrina. Coburn's amendment failed by a vote of 82 to 15, and Allen was one of the 15 senators who voted in favor of killing the funding for the Alaska Bridge to Nowhere. Now, after the amendment's defeat, lawmakers removed the bridge earmark and instead gave the money directly to the Alaska Department of Transportation to spend it on whatever projects it saw fit. Now, that could still have gone to the Ketchikan-Gravina span, but the bridge never did get built. Now, when faced with a specific amendment to defund the bridge, Allen was one of a minority of senators who voted to defund it, so we rate his claim true.
All right. Now, the second item is a claim by Tim Kaine in that same debate that Allen and his Republican colleagues in the Senate, quote, turned the biggest surplus in the history of the United States into the biggest deficit in the history of the United States. What did you find?
Well, before I start, I should point out that deficits in the past couple of years, when measured in raw dollars, have easily been the largest in history. And the budget shortfall is projected to be more than $1.6 trillion this fiscal year alone. But Kaine's campaign said that he was referring to the deficits and surpluses that existed at the time of Allen's tenure in the Senate from 2001 to 2007. Now, even with that qualification, is Kaine right? Now, Kaine's campaign pointed to data from the Office of Management and Budget. Now, the OMB figures show that in fiscal year 2000, which ended a couple of months before Allen arrived in the Senate, the surplus was $236 billion. And when measured in raw dollars, that was the largest surplus ever. And in fiscal year 2004, the deficit reached about $413 billion. And again, that was a record up to that time. However, Kaine's figures only show the deficits and surpluses when measured in raw dollars that have not been adjusted for inflation. Another way that OMB gauges deficits is to measure them using inflation-adjusted dollars, sizing them up in terms of the value of a dollar in 2005. And when that's done, the deficits during World War II were easily higher than the deficits during Allen's term. And another way to measure deficits is to see how they compare to the gross domestic product, or the U.S. economic output. In 2004, the height of the deficit during Allen's term, the deficit came to 3.5% of the country's gross domestic product. Now, we found periods during the early 1990s and the 1980s, 1970s, 1940s, and 1930s when the deficit was at a higher percentage of gross domestic product than it was during Allen's term. Also, the surplus in 1948, when measured as a percentage of GDP, was higher than the surplus in 2000. Several analysts we spoke to said the best way to compare deficits and surpluses over time is to measure them as a percentage of a country's gross domestic product. After all, the value of a dollar changes over time. Still, experts told us Keynes' use of raw dollars to gauge deficits isn't wrong. It's just one way of looking at the picture. Now, while Keynes uses the narrowest way of looking at deficits over time, his statement is accurate, so we rate the claim mostly true.
Okay, thanks to Sean Gorman of PolitiFact Virginia, who joins us Tuesday mornings at this time on WCVE's broadcast of Morning Edition. Thanks again, Sean.
Hey, thanks.